The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
Hey everybody, this is Gary Ho-Ho-Hoey, and you are hanging out with Tech Talk Radio. Enjoy.
Welcome to another episode of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
And I'm Justin Lemmy.
I'm kind of wondering, just started the show, and Sean has in his hands, it looks like a hard drive.
It is a hard drive.
What is it?
It's a 4 terabyte hard drive.
And you got that 4 terabyte hard drive because you got your Synology.
My Synology NAS will be here tomorrow.
Oh, are you excited about it?
Yes, I am. So Justin made a good point, right? I talked about how I've got all these drives from a SAN storage that was surplused at work. And I'm going to go through and I'm going to test them all. I did a little research on the subreddit Data Hoarders, which is a great subreddit for this type of thing, and found the most recommended software for doing hard drives testing to determine its smart status and hours and blah, 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 blah. HD Tune Pro.
HD Tune Pro. I think I've heard of that before.
Yeah. So it's $34. I bought it. I'm going to plug in a handful of random, pick a couple of the drives that I got, drop them in, see what they say. If they're solid, I'll play with it.
How can it test the hard drive to find out how many hours it's been in service?
It stores that information on the logic board of the hard drive.
I didn't know that.
Oh, wow.
That's kind of cool. So how was the process? What, you just, you get the software, you hook up the hard drive. You got an external?
I haven't got that far yet.
Ah.
I literally just bought the software, and I'm just taking the chassis off the drives now. I've just got a 2-bay Insignia one that I bought at Best Buy, right? That's how I'm just going to plug them in. And that's how currently my Plex server is hooked up, right? I've got 2 4-terabyte drives in tandem.
Right.
In a 2-bay, and one is the main, and one is the daily backup using Acronis. So
how long would it take to set up? Justin, you've done it, the Synology. Once he gets all of that info, you know, it gets it all installed, the whole bit.
What did it take me? It took me, when I popped in, so when I first set up the Synology, popped in all the drives, it probably took about an hour.
That's not bad.
To format everything, get everything ready to go, all the updates, the BIOS updates for the Synology itself, you know, everything like that. Yeah, about an hour.
For any of our listeners that are wondering, what that means is it's the ability to extend your storage and actually give you a level of protection while still getting, you know, more storage, which you can never have enough storage.
The thing about, you got to understand about a Synology is it's much more than just extra storage. I mean, I you can run so many containers on that thing, and I use a program called Docker, Docker is not super difficult to learn. It does take a little bit of technical knowledge, but it's not very hard. But I run a multitude of, I guess you could call it, services on my Synology. So, for instance, I've got my Pi hole. Mm-hmm. So now Pi hole, it sounds funny, but it is a DNS black hole, and it's normally made to be run on a Raspberry Pi.
Yeah. Do they actually make a version that'll run under PC?
Well, it doesn't run on the PC. It runs on a Synology.
A Synology.
So
okay.
It runs through the Docker container. So a Docker container, think of a virtual machine, like VMware.
Okay.
Right? Docker is very similar to VMware. However, the main difference is with VMware controls the metal. When I mean metal, I mean the actual hardware on layer one. Okay, VMware controls the hardware, whereas Docker runs on top of your operating system. So your operating system still has control over everything of the bare metal. And then Docker just kind of interacts with your operating system and works that way. So VMware has much more granular control. It's better in a way than Docker, but Docker is free. Oh. VMware is not.
Yeah, no.
VMware is not. So I run like things like I run a Pi hole, DNS black hole on it. I run virtual machines. I've got Kali Linux. I've got an Ubuntu server. Let's see, what else do I have here? I have a Minecraft server. I have an Uptime Kuma, which is more of like a, it's called Uptime Kuma, which is basically just a monitoring service that lets me monitor all of my different features throughout the house, where it'll tell me if this is up or if this is down. Hmm. Uptime Kuma also can ping out to websites to let me know if, you know, Reddit is down, or or you know, Google is down, it'll just continuously ping out those services, and if it happens, goes down, it'll let me know. So Synology runs a lot more stuff than just storage. So I mean, a Synology, really, if you're looking for just storage, you can just get yourself an external drive. But if you want all the features that come with Synology, and besides just storing your stuff. Now, the other thing about storage, we got to talk about storage. Being that Synology is a network attached storage device, right, that's called a NAS, it's always running and it can be accessed by any computer in my house. So it's not like I have to have my computer, my personal computer, turned on all the time. The Synology sits in the background by itself. It is its own computer, literally its own computer. It's got a processor, it's got RAM, it's got a hard drive, well, multiple hard drives, and it just runs. And I have a file share set up. So if I want to put, I forgot the most important thing I run on Synology, my Plex server.
Yeah, Plex.
So I run my Plex server on there. So if I ever want to access my Plex server, whether it be inside the house or outside the house, it runs on the Synology. I know it's always running. This thing runs 24/7 and it's quiet and it just works. It's great.
You know, a lot of people are starting to really kind of find out what Plex is all about. Plex is a great way to store your personal media. And while we won't get into, like, you want to take a DVD you own and make a digital copy and put that DVD somewhere away in storage or in a big box, so that way anytime you want to watch it, you can pull it up with your Plex server and watch it. But Plex goes beyond that. And Plex has done a lot of, I don't know if you guys have seen all the different offerings they have now, because they got into the ad business. Whereas now you can go ahead, and I've got a Plex server, but honestly, I've had it down because when I transferred the computers, I did not transfer the installation, even though I still pay the annual fee for it to have it.
I got the lifetime. I got the lifetime subscription. I think it was $199. Yeah,
totally worth it.
I wonder if, can I update that? Like, I think my renewal comes around in February. Can I just say, you know, instead of paying that lower fee, just pay the lifetime and I would get it? Yeah,
just pay the lifetime. I think it's like 100. And honestly, pay attention to Black Friday deals. You know, because a lot of times Plex will do something. I think I bought mine on a Black Friday deal a couple years ago.
Right.
And it was, I think I paid 150 for it when it's normally 199,
right?
And it's lifetime. I don't have to worry about it anymore.
You're not going to get a monthly charge. You're not going to get an annual charge. Nothing.
Nope. It's done.
But you know, for those that are listening and going, well, you're talking about this stuff. I'm kind of picking this up, and I've heard this from some of our listeners, but yet there are little key like pieces we put in there, like Plex.tv. It's a great way. And if you're starting out and you're thinking, oh, I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to store all my photos on a Plex server, or my music on a Plex server, so I can access it anywhere in the house. Plex is a great way to go.
And not only do you have to store your own, or you can store your own personal media, they have a ton of offerings of free ad-supported content. So you can watch a ton of TV channels, a ton of TV shows. You can listen to a ton of music, and it's all ad-supported through the Plex service.
And I think if you go to Plex.tv, you can do that without having to pay this annual that we're talking about, where you're serving files off a Plex server. Yeah.
Yeah. You can do a free version of Plex. You just can't serve anything if you don't pay the subscription. You can watch all their content for free with the Plex app, and the Plex app is supported by pretty much every platform, you know, Android, Fire TV Stick, Apple TV, PC, whatever you've got.
I will say there is a small caveat about the iOS version.
Oh,
is it's $4.99 for the iOS app unless you want to only watch 1 minute of your file.
Oh, you're kidding me! I didn't know that.
Yeah. No, it's wow. I was pretty peeved by that when I got it. So Plex app on the iPhone, $4.99. I did look up the Plex Pass. The lifetime Plex Pass is $119 now.
Oh, $119.
That's even better.
Okay. $119. Yeah. So it's worth and it also, for me, right?
So. Yeah.
Oh, also, if you have one of those, if you have like a home antenna, if you're a cord cutter,
an
right?
OTA,
like
I am, over the air, yeah.
Over the air, you have an antenna. All you need in order to get yourself your own DVR for your over-the-air TV, all you need is an HD home run. And what this does is it converts your over-the-air signal. You basically, you plug your antenna into the back of the HD home run. Then it has an Ethernet cable that goes out and goes into your switch. And you tell your Plex server, hey, look at the HD home run for your local channels. And it will then program itself for all your local channels. And it will give you a guide just the same way as your TV would give you a guide. You can look at a guide of all the channels that are available, what's on TV at that moment. And if you have it on a computer, let's say your Plex server is on a computer that's on all the time, like my Synology, I can set up a DVR. So every week, my personal DVR records America's Funniest Home Videos. So that way my family and I can watch it on Monday or Tuesday after it airs on Sunday. But right. You can do that. And you can also watch your live over-the-air television via Plex, and you have that scrubbing feature where if you want to pause it for a moment, you can pause over the air. If you want, if you're watching the local news and you're like, oh, what did he just say? Hit the back button. It will rewind 10 seconds.
Oh, wow.
It automatically stores all that information on the Plex server. So it's just like having cable or satellite, but it's over the air.
Yeah, I guess HD Home Run just put out a what they're calling a Flex, not a Plex, but a Flex with 4K. So if you have the ability to receive that and get the highest quality, you can do that as well.
But that's misleading. That's misleading. No broadcaster out there broadcasts in 4K.
They're just saying it's ATSC 3.0.
3.0, right? Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
So next gen.
The capability of it in the future when TV stations will do a 4K.
And by that time, they're going to have the Flex 2, never. Flex 3,
it's
Flex 4.
Never going to happen. 4K.
You don't think it's ever going to happen?
Make 4K happen.
No, I think it will.
With the antenna that we have here, I've been able to pick up channels, and I'm always kind of amazed that the quality looks so good. I know it's not in 4K, but to get it over the air, I've been like really impressed.
Honestly, the reason why that is because over the air is the best quality that's possible you can get. You can't get anything better than over the air. The reason behind that is, I mean, it's a little bit of science, a little bit of engineering behind it, but you're talking about, look, for instance, if you got a cable TV service, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking about a single cable, coaxial cable,
right?
That is bringing in what, 950 to 1,000 channels, and it's got to compress every single one of those channels into that single little cable. So it has to compress all of that information, no matter what channel you're watching. Now, sure, subscribers and cable channels and or cable providers and satellite channels providers, excuse me, they will increase or decrease the bandwidth of certain channels during certain events. So for instance, Super Bowl Sunday, they're obviously going to increase the bandwidth of whatever channel is showing the Super Bowl. So if it's Fox that year, they're going to increase the bandwidth on Fox to make it look better than it normally would. But with over the air, you don't have to worry about that because you're talking about a single channel, a single frequency RF that's coming into your antenna. You're going to get the best quality possible over the air.
Now, the HD Home Run, does it come with its own software or it just integrates into Plex? Do you know? No,
it's got a web interface. Yeah, so you plug it in, you it'll pick up an IP address, you'll find it on your network, and then you can configure the guide. You can tell it what channels you like, mm-hmm. What channels to ignore, and then from there you can import that into Plex.
Now the company that makes it is called Silicon Dust, but it sells for about $200. But I'm honestly thinking, you know, this is kind of a good way to go. I know TiVo makes a unit with a with the ability to catch over the air. I know they've got one, but this sounds like it takes up less space and it's going to easier to set up. That actually looks pretty cool.
The size of a piece of bread.
Yeah, it's not that big at all. So yeah, a lot of people are saying this is the way to go if you want to be able to do over the air and be able to maybe stream. So like if you're sitting in an airport, Justin, and you have to fly to Indiana to go see Sean or Florida or wherever you've been traveling
First off, why in the heck would I want to go see Sean?
Sean, do you have a comment on that one?
Nobody wants to come to South Bend.
Yeah. I would love to get out there. I want to take a tour of the studios. Would you be able to give us a tour? Like if we ever came out? No.
No.
He's just saying that. He don't want to do it.
No, I give you a tour. I give people tours all the time.
Can I reenact the scene from Rudy where he walks out in the field?
Yeah, could he do that?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I think it's cool because the other night we were trying to get a meeting together, and I sent a note to Sean. I said, what are you doing right now? Are you available for a quick video chat? And he sends me a picture of this control room with all the screens, all the monitors, the whole studio. And I showed Gloria. I said, yeah, I think he's busy.
Yeah, I was working the football game. Like, it's a Saturday during football season. Of course I was busy. So,
yeah, come on, Andy. Think about it.
A quick caveat to that, right? So right. The first half of the game, it was cold, it was windy, and it didn't snow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Second half of the game.
Oh, my God, I loved it.
Blizzard.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
One of our camera operators said, hey, it's starting to snow a little bit. And then it wasn't 2 minutes later, and it was whiteout conditions. You couldn't see the field. You couldn't see the players. It was so windy that they had to stop using the spider cam, the cable cam. They couldn't use that anymore because it was so windy. And it took probably 15 minutes to dump 2 inches into the stadium.
So yeah, what happens when that happens? Do you guys just delay the game?
No, they keep playing.
Heck no.
Really?
Yeah, it was football, funny because, man. You know the down and distance line, the yellow line,
yeah.
The innovative yellow line, right? That's chroma keyed on, right? They're keying out the green field.
Okay.
That's how they do that, right? And there's no mystery there anymore. They couldn't key out the down and distance line anymore because there's no more green. So what they did, instead of keying it out, they just overlaid it. So the players, as they went under the line was over top of the players.
Oh, that's funny.
Because that's all they could do. Because it was so much, they couldn't key it out, so that's all they could do.
That's awesome. That's so funny.
Yeah, it was really comical.
It was really interesting to watch that game. I watched it, and it was funny because I was doing stuff in the background. You guys probably saw, well, I sent it to you on Snapchat.
Yeah.
I had it on in the background, but I sent this to you in Snapchat, Sean and Andy. You probably saw it on Facebook, whatever. But I was installing some new LED lights in my kitchen, and I was listening to the game. And I turned around, and I was like, I was the only one home, right? But yeah. I was like, hey, who changed the game? Because I turned around, and it was a snowball. I was like, wait, what happened?
Andy, I'll send you two pictures.
Yeah.
One from the beginning of the game. And one during the third quarter, and it's the same shot I sent you of the control room, right?
Right.
You said you're busy. I'm going to send you one that I took later of it snowing, and you're going to be able to look at it and see the difference.
Amazing.
Put that on the website.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'll put it on our blog.
Put that on the website, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people have been checking out the video you did of the time lapse, although you were kind of upset because last week you should have set up a time lapse from non-snow to snow.
Right, so I was going to set it up, I don't know, Thursday night. That's kind of my goal. Set it up Thursday, get a day or two beforehand. It snowed a bunch overnight Wednesday night into Thursday. We probably got 8 inches of snow overnight. Right?
That would have been great. That would have been great.
And then I was mad because I was like, oh, I could have got it snowing and stuff. So I put it up Saturday morning when I got in. I went and put it up right away. So I got them clearing the bowl of the snow, shoveling all the snow off the seats, clearing the field of all the snow. And then I got the game, and then I got the blizzard. So nice. It's going to be a really, I haven't put it together yet, but I actually, it's still running because I left it up there again. I'm going to pull it in tomorrow, but because we had a really great sunrise this morning when I'm on my way into work, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to leave it up. Let it do another day. So this one will be from Saturday morning until Wednesday afternoon.
We'll put the link up at blog.techtalkradio.com.
Yeah. So this is our last home game, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to do this one, and then I'm going to do a time lapse of all of the games back to back to back to back to back.
You can do that? Well, just do it with a stitching program.
One,
yeah.
So it'll be one long time lapse of each, basically just every game.
Can you put? And what do you got your time lapse set to? 60 seconds?
Every 30 seconds. So
every 30 seconds. Wow.
Two pictures a minute.
But it takes it. You don't have to manipulate that. It will take it and put it into a video for you.
No.
Well, the GoPro software will.
Yeah.
I'll do a video on how I do my time lapses because I bring them in as images, still images. So the newer versions of the time lapse, you can have it do a time lapse for you automatically.
Right.
I don't like the way it encodes the images. What I do is I bring them all in to my computer. I bring them all into Lightroom.
Ah.
I go through about every, I don't know, I just pick randomly. I usually do one early morning, one midday, and then one night shot. Edit those three down to what I like. Find a happy medium, what I like the best out of those three. Copy it and paste it to everything. Crop everything so it's all same. Then I export that from Lightroom using a software called LR Timelapse. It's a software written by a Finn. I think he's Finnish. Probably the best time lapse software you can possibly buy. Light ramping time lapse.
Light ramping time lapse. Okay.
It will analyze your. So it's good for. The problem with doing time lapses from night to day and stuff is you get those varying exposures in the images. If you take an image, especially for long time lapses, right? If you're doing a picture every 2 hours or something, right? The difference in the variable exposures can be what you get flickering.
Yeah.
Which is you'll see it a lot of time lapses. This software will analyze the images, evaluate them, and give you a nice curve in and out so you don't get that flickering. It's really great for your sunrise to sunset overnight time lapses.
Does it adjust like you would use Lightroom?
Yeah.
Oh, well, how much does this run for though?
I'd have to look. A couple $100, I think.
If you're putting it in a workbook.
I'll look it up, but I just keep updating. I bought a license back when it was on version 3, I think. This was back in 2013.
Oh, wow.
And I think they're on version 6 now. So he offers you, if you have the pro version, you can just get the next pro version for an upgrade. You just pay an upgrade fee and you keep getting the next version, right? So
how much money have you spent on that total over the years?
I'll look. During the break, I'll look and figure it out.
Maybe he doesn't want to look. He might start crying.
And then he has to find a story to tell Caitlin.
No, that's when I buy the DJI Avata. Yeah.
Is that next on your list?
It's been sitting in my cart.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. They just announced the second version of their FPV goggles.
Oh.
And they have a bundle for the same price as the Avata with the version 1 goggles. So maybe I can convince Caitlin that it'll be my Christmas present. Caitlin asked me, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I haven't really had anything that I've wanted for myself. Because usually I just buy it.
That's kind of where I'm at where I'm at right now too. Because we'll do like an Amazon wish list or something.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And I'm going through this thing and I'm just like I'm trying to figure out things to buy. And I see something, I'll add it to the wish list, whatever. And I went back today and I looked at my wish list. Most of the stuff is like household items. Like nothing that's like for me as a geek, because everything I want is like $1,000 or whatever, right. And I'm not going to be able to afford that. So like, I'm just like things like an actual, you know, big, what's the shape of that? The big cheese graters. The
mandolin slicer?
Yeah, I don't know. Not a mandolin. The square looks like a cowbell.
A cheese grater?
That's what I said. Yeah. I said a cheese grater, but like
something
the big
like
square
$4
ones, right?
At Dollar Tree?
Well, you know, this one's like titanium, so it's like 16,
oh, wow.
15 bucks, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, just things like that, like a new cutting board, like a real solid brick, you know, cutting board.
Chartoucherie?
You know, yeah, something like that, you know.
Charcuterie board?
Yeah, there you go.
Charcuterie board.
Thank you
But like, but she's like, I don't know what to get you. And I'm like, well, I could tell you all these cool things that I want, but you're not going to buy any of them. So I might as well buy stuff that I'll get a use out of in the house.
Yeah, that works. All right. Yeah. All right. Tell you what, we got to take a quick break. We come back. I had a dilemma a few weeks ago and we talked about it and it was like, okay, get a new computer, reinstall Windows for a failed Windows 10 update. I was able to do the 35-day hold. Then we had a problem. So I went in, I was able to actually write some, you know, do the coding and all that stuff and get another 35 days out of it, because Windows update will after 35 days, that's it. You can't extend it anymore. But I did learn a trick that if you are extended, you can extend it again and keep doing that, which requires a little of know-how, which I still didn't know. But we got to a point where you couldn't do it anymore. No matter what I tried, the decision was, it's either a Windows update over the current Windows install on a clone drive or a new computer. And I'll tell you which way they went, and a software program I found that can make it easy if you're migrating to a new computer. I'll tell you about that. In my experience, I bought it. The company didn't send it. And tell you what I thought about that coming up. This is Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeird.
And I'm Justin. Let me find us on the interwebs, techtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
You've heard the terminology, you are not the customer, you're the product, right?
Yeah, especially when it's for free, right?
Exactly. When it comes to things like Gmail. Google in general, Hotmail, AOL Mail, anything that you could get for free. All these free email services, these free search engines, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think, oh, this is beautiful. I can go to google.com and I can search wherever I want, right? No, You're the product. What they're doing is they're taking your information. They're looking at what you search.
Right.
And they're building a profile based on your unique identifier, your UID.
For example, I've been looking for appliances. We bought a stove. We bought a microwave, bought a dishwasher, and I've been looking for a fridge. And since I've been looking now, no matter what computer I'm on, I will be served those ads for Home Depot's, Lowe's, Tucson yep. Appliance, for fridges.
Yeah, exactly. And if you think about it, if you ever go to Google or whatever, you search for something, all of a sudden you're back on, like, let's say Facebook or Twitter. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden you're starting to get ads for stuff that you searched on Google. Why? Because Google sells your information using your unique identifier to all these other companies that attach it to your profile and say, oh, Andy searched for a refrigerator. Let's go ahead and serve him ads on refrigerators. What can we do about that?
Sell that? Do they say, you know, to the companies, hey, we got a guy over here looking for fridges. You guys want to buy this data?
Absolutely.
That's how it's done.
Absolutely. That's why you get these free emails. That's why you get the free search engines, all that stuff, right? Because you are the product. You're not the customer. You are the product.
All right.
You can build your own search engine. Now, I was watching a video last night.
All right.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I was watching a video from a very, pretty famous YouTuber named Network Chuck.
All right.
If you look him up on YouTube, Network Chuck, he was doing a video last night where he talked about this exact thing, building your own search engine. And this is really interesting. So there's a program that runs on Docker. So again, I was talking about Docker earlier.
Right.
But it's called CERXNG, Sear, S-E-A-R, X-N-G, CERXNG. And you can build your own search engine using this. Now, it looks a lot like Google. It's got that very basic home screen with just the name CERXNG with a search for button. It looks just like Google. And in fact, when you search for something, the page that comes up looks just like Google, but it's not. It's not Google. In fact, you can actually go to Network Chuck's search engine that he built because he made it public. You can go to notgoogle.live.
All right.
Can see this search engine. Again, notgoogle.live.
L-I-V-E. All right. I'm going there. Wow.
And then you can just search for whatever you want. Let's say we want to search for Tech Talk Radio.
All right. TECHTALKRADIO.
Yep. And we go to Tech Talk Radio. We hit this. Boom. Now,
first result.
Now, here's the thing. You're going to notice when you do this, when you search on Google or Bing or whatever, you're going to get sponsored ads right off the bat. That's right. How they make their money. They got sponsored ads. CERXNG does not include any of those sponsored ads because Google does not know who you are when you use CERXNG. Well, they serve you the actual results.
Am I not, though, searching? I mean, I'm on Google. Am I not searching using Google?
So here's how it works. What CERXNG does is they generate a fake UID. Again, I mentioned that unique identifier. They generate a fake UID and then they take your search request and they hit Google, they hit Bing, they hit Yahoo, they hit a bunch of other different search engines out there using these fake UIDs. So that way the actual website, Google, Bing, Yahoo, whatever it is, they don't know who you are. They don't know where you come from. They don't even get your IP address. There's a caveat to that. If you're running your search engine locally on your home LAN, they will get your IP address. However, if you spin up this instance in the cloud, like on a data center that you own that you can rent a server and a data center, they're not going to know who you are because they're only going to get the search engine, the data center's IP address. They're not going to get your personal IP address. So there's no way for them to know who you are.
Wow.
So what they do is they go out and they search all those sites for you, and then they bring back the actual results minus all the advertising and the tracking that goes along with it. So again, CERXNG, S-E-A-R-X-N-G. It is a Docker container. It runs off of Linux. So basically what you do is you fire up a Linux instance on Docker, And if you watch his video, if you watch Network Chuck, again, go look at Network Chuck on YouTube. He does an amazing job of walking you through step by step how to set this up. And not only can you just set this up, you can set up things like parental controls. You can set up filters. You can set up scheduling. You can set up custom banners, custom logos. If we wanted to do our own Tech Talk radio search, we could fire up a Sirix NG with a Tech Talk logo instead of the Sirix NG logo. We could fire that up and bam, make it public. Tell our listeners, go to search.techtalkradio.com. Boom, it fires it up. No, don't go there because that's not real.
Yeah, that's not real.
But we could do that and bam, they could use an instance of Sirix NG.
And it could be like stuff we talked about on the show.
Exactly.
It's funny because I'm going through the search engine and I'm seeing one of the links is for our YouTube video that we did on the Epson RR70W with a segment on Fox 11. And it's funny because that's the most watched video. I'm thinking, why is that being served rather than some of the other videos we've done? And that one is being the most watched, showing up in the search engines. So we could actually have a search engine for videos.
You could do that. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, this is so cool.
And not only that, but if you look at the search results at the top, when you look at it, you have the main categories. You know, you got general, images, videos, news, maps, music. But you also have social media. Mm-hmm. You have a social media category. Like, for instance, oh, wow, look at this. If I go to social media, if I look up Tech Talk Radio, I go to social media, it comes up with a Reddit post 11 years ago, and they link our website, techtalkradio.com.
This is a really cool thing. Now, this guy, what's his name again on YouTube?
So, again, on YouTube, his name is Network Chuck.
All right.
And you can go to his website, networkchuck.coffee. It's funny. He's a coffee freak. I mean, this guy, when I say he's got energy when he does his videos, it's an understatement. This guy is so hopped up off of coffee that it is ridiculous. But he's funny, he's informative, and he knows what he's talking about. And he's really, really good. So you can go to networkchuck.coffee, or you can just go to notgoogle.live for the actual search engine, or just look him up on YouTube, Network Chuck.
Wonder if I can send him some Filthy Pirate coffee if he would like that.
Oh, dude, he loves coffee. I'm sure you can send him anything and he'll drink it.
That is really super cool.
This guy's could got be. Like over like 5 million subscribers, I think.
Oh, man. Well, now we know why, because he's really created something
2.5 million.
2.5,
sorry.
He's super useful. This is the kind of stuff I think more and more people need to be able to seek out. But it's knowing who's putting this content up on YouTube.
Yeah, and he's one of the best.
We told you a few weeks ago about a situation where we had one of my customers. They had a system. Windows 10 updating stopped back in May. They were just going, and it got to the point where the system would crash every night. They'd have to reboot it. I'd have to tell them to hit F8. You hit the F8 key, the system's coming up. It'll then remove that update it tried to do. I mean, it just went through all kinds of heck. And I went through a lot of time just getting it so we could extend it to 30 days, bypass it. And the problem is they needed the internet on it. So it was just a cluster. So the deal was, all right, I had a couple of options. Make a clone of the drive, install Windows on top of it. But it was a working machine. And I said, I don't know how long that'll take. Then the other was they could buy a new computer and we could just reinstall everything. And that would be maybe a little easier. But I looked at a software program. And I have used previous versions before, but not like this. The program is from a company called Laplink. They've been around for a while. The software program is called PC Mover. And it's one of the only, I'll just say one of the only, because I'm not sure what other ones are out there, software program that moves not only your files, but it also moves your applications.
Ooh.
And that is what
the
really,
registry and everything. Wow.
Everything. That's what intrigued me about it. However, there is one caveat to it. I'll use that word that Sean likes to use, caveat. There is a little downside on that. So we got the old computer. This is what I did. I had to buy the license for it. It was $60. You can only use it twice. Well, once, actually. You install it on the old computer, and you install it on the new computer. Now, on this case, rather than buying the transfer cable where you can have two computers connected, I decided to go off a backup drive, which some people have said that worked out better for them. So what I did is I got the license, downloaded it, put it on the old computer, hooked up an external hard drive. I went ahead and went through, and it said, what would you like to back up? It said the whole thing, and it goes and it grabs everything. It took 5.5 hours on a 300 gigabyte drive, which was an SSD at that. But I think there was some failings on that. Either way, that's why we were going through the issue. But it, when it took 5.5 hours, I had to sit there and wait for it. And once we were done, then I had to take the new computer, get everything set up, install the software on there that I downloaded from Laplink's website, and then run the PC mover program, signify that it was the new computer, and then how I wanted to do this update. Applications, just files. And I said applications, files, the whole bit. And then it started. And I thought, uh-oh, it's going really slow. It told me at first 1.5 hours. Then as I was sitting there, the time kept increasing. Hour 45, 2 hours. Finally, I looked and it said 3.5 hours. I said, this is not good. So I got in the car. I just let it run and went to go get myself some lunch. I'd already been at this point for 9 hours. So I got some lunch, came back. It was done. For some reason, it gives you that long, long time. Yeah. And I thought, did something go wrong? And so I, they tell you to shut the computer down afterwards, reboot your computer. There's a program you want to run. It will do a comparison from the drive to tell you, did everything work out okay? Did everything transfer okay? And if you're ever in a situation where you have to reinstall all your programs, but you don't want to because it takes a long time, you got to remember all the logins, the whole bit. This was absolutely genius. It was such a great program because once I did that, first thing I did was test the printer. I didn't install printer drivers. It's a network printer, mind you. I went ahead and hit print, and sure enough, it sent that print job there. I got all giddy. And then then I started the program, which is a pretty big program used specifically for this industry. Worked fine. Everything worked great. So I just got to say, there are little things like Outlook. You'll have to, like if you're using Office, you'll need to log back in, or anything that you log out of, you'll need to log in. So you'll have to have your password for that. Or, if you have Password Manager, if you're running 1Pass, which I love, you could go ahead and install it and do it that way. But, it took a long time. It took, almost 7.5 hours. But at the end, I was completely done with the upgrade.
Let me ask you this. What really is the difference between this and using a program like Acronis Image?
Yeah. I thought about that too. I've used Acronis before and I had issues with database, especially when it came to QuickBooks. And I love Acronis. Don't get me wrong on that. It's great for cloning or for imaging. But as far as reinstalling all the applications or making sure that they're all working fine, this gave me better results than Acronis did. And I've done that before where I've tried to, do an image and restore, and this one worked better.
Okay.
So, the downside, again, with Acronis, the upside is you can use it multiple times. Like you can, if you, decide you want to do another one, you can do that. You're not limited to one license, for two computers, and then that's it. Once you use that, you're done. I can't go back and install it on another computer and do the same thing. So you're paying for that one-time use. Acronis, which is just a little more money than that, does give you unlimited imaging and clone. So for that sake, and then now they have the security features in there too. I was pretty pleased with it. So Laplink, PC Mover from Laplink. I use the Pro Edition. There's different versions. If you go to PC Mover's website, you'll be able to see those different editions. And if you've ever thought, I just want to, update my computer. There are people who are still going from Windows XP. It will go back to Windows XP and make it so you can run some of those programs within, Windows 10. If they'll run. And older printers you may have a problem with, but again, I was pretty pleased with it. So I'm hoping
I have one of those dot matrix printers. Would that work?
Probably not. No, okay. You got to go Office Space on that one. I miss those. All right, we can take another quick break. We'll come back with more of Tech Talk Radio. Cyber Monday is coming up. just around the corner. Maybe some security tips you guys can share with people who are thinking about going online and doing some cyber shopping?
Sure. I got a couple.
All right. We'll do that when we come back. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
I'm Justin. Let me send us a tweet at Tech Talk Radio. Be right back.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Colin Mockery of Whose Line Is It Anyway? You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. I don't know how it works. It's all magical stuff to me.
During the break, we were talking about our favorite versions of Windows.
Yes. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Waxing poetic.
I liked Windows 7 just because of how easy it was.
Mm-hmm.
Andy, you said?
I actually like Windows 10, but 7 would probably, 7 would be what I liked. I upgraded to 10 and I was happy, but I'm not a big fan of 11.
And then Justin, you said?
Honestly, I never had a problem with Vista, even though Vista went down in history as one of the worst ever.
Really?
I did not have a problem with Vista. I didn't like it, but I never had a problem. I kind of like it Windows 11.
I did like when they put out the 8.1.
Bro.
7.
Bro.
Yeah.
Bro, don't. Yeah, don't even. So don't, do not mention Windows 8 in this program.
So, Windows 8 support...
Swear to God.
Just like Windows 7 support ended, Windows 8.1
yes.
support, because Windows 8 support ended in 2016. Windows 8.1, which was the predecessor to Windows 8, because Windows 8 stunk.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Windows 8, right off the rip, with their whole reformatting to the blocky
look-alike.
Tiles. Like the Windows Phone OS. Like, it was terrible.
Whoever designed Windows 8 needs to burn in hell.
It was terrible. And it was such a drastic change, right? It wasn't like
a special place in hell for you.
It was such a radical design change. Anyways.
But that's Sean, that's what kind of people thought when suddenly 11 came around. It was so drastically different.
No, it was not.
Yes, it is.
Oh my God. The only difference was the start bar was in the center of the screen and not the left, people.
It's so hard to find stuff. So, okay, you got to make an extra step now. You click on that middle button. Then, you want to see all your icons. I liked when I could go to the left button, hit that start button, and there's all the programs. There's what I need. Without loading up the desktop with all the icons.
You do realize that you could just right-click on that icon, and you can see your programs, right?
Oh, you can do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Anyway.
Thank you. Little lesson there in Windows 11.
Yeah.
Windows 8.1 support will end January 10th, 2023.
That's so just around the corner.
Another sunset for a not very well-liked operating system.
All right. So what happens now with somebody who's running Windows 8.1 that says...
You better upgrade.
Because they're not going to get... The updates at this point, right?
So you won't get security updates, right? So there are rare instances, like whatever worm virus went around, or WannaCry, or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Where Microsoft came out and said, all right, I guess we'll throw out a patch for Windows XP.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I mean, there are critical security flaws that will get patched if they're needed, right? But basically what support ending means is you can't call Windows support and get help. You can't get security updates, and they're just, not putting any more resources towards Windows 8.1. If you're still on Windows 8.1, what the hell is wrong with you?
Well, some people just don't want to upgrade, or maybe their computer, what are they going to upgrade to? Windows 10? Can you buy Windows 10?
Yeah. Well, you can, but at this point, honestly, if you don't want to do this again in like 2 or 3 years, just upgrade... Okay, first, if you're upgrade running 8.1, you can't, upgrade your computer. You can't run Windows 11 if you're running Windows 8.1. At this point, it's time for you to get a new computer.
Okay, but here's another caveat. We just talked, there I go with the word again. We just talked about this. PC Mover.
The word of the day is caveat.
From Laplink. We should name the show that this week. But from Laplink, because then you could go Windows 8.1 on your brand new computer. Go to Windows 11.
Why would you even do... No.
What if you have programs...
Just nuke your machine. Get it over with. Pull the plug. Rip the Band-Aid off.
Rip the Band-Aid off. Just
get the chest wax. Rip it off. There's nothing good that you could move over from 8.1 to Windows 11. It's going to do you...
What if you run I didn't try this with Adobe. What if you run Photoshop 2 or Photoshop 3 and you don't want to.
Are you editing? Are you editing pixel art?
Get the subscription like everybody else does. Pay $20 a month and get the Adobe Cloud. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like. All right.
if you're running Windows 8.1 and you're running Photoshop 2, PageMaker, InDesign, you know, PageMaker.
What a great
program. If you're running Windows 8.1, it is time for you to upgrade your computer and stop churning your own milk. Okay.
You know, I feel bad for anybody listening that's looking at their computer right now. They're looking at the radio, looking at the computer, looking at the radio, looking at the computer, and they see Windows 8.1.
I'm sorry, man. The truth hurts, bro.
Okay, so.
Hey, no, if there's anybody listening out there that has a computer that's running 8.1 and they want to get rid of it, I will pay you to ship it to me and I will run it for the next show.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to build a computer that's running Windows 8.1 and run it on the next show.
Are you? Really? You really?
Absolutely. I'm going to do it.
All right. We'll see just how bad it is.
Folks, you can email, you can mail your computer to Sean DeWeird, courtesy of Tech Talk Radio.
Oh, no, please don't do that. All right. Oh, man.
Now, you didn't mention how much you'll pay.
Let's go back in time and see how bad it really was.
Yeah. You know what? You didn't mention how much you'll pay. You'll pay $1 per computer, right?
Is that what it is? Yeah, no. He said he paid for shipping.
He just said he'll pay you.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what.
I'll pay you to ship me your computer.
I've got a couple of old Asus. Remember the small little Asus notebook computers they put out? They were real small. They're running Windows 8.1. Maybe I can send that to you, if you can get a new battery for them, because that was the downside, is you had to open it up.
I've got a handful of old computers that I know will run 8.1, because they ran 7 fine, and they ran...
Why would you do this to yourself?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be an experiment.
You know, this is the anniversary this week of Windows 1.0, which was the first GUI. If you remember, it's not the first GUI I used. The first GUI I ever used was actually GeoWorks. You remember GeoWorks? Did any of you use that?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it was a computer I bought.
First GUI was 3.1 for me. Windows 3.1?
Yeah. 1.0 had the first GUI, and it was really ugly. I mean, completely ugly. Looked like Vista.
That's a low blow.
It really was. All right, security tips. Anybody want to share? Cyber Monday is just around the corner. You know, it's a day that, of course, today being Small Business Saturday, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, okay, how do I support Small Business Saturday? The show's on a little later. Hey, you could still go out to Arizona Family. You could still go to a local restaurant. Still go to support our local merchants here in town, or even in the Tucson area, if you're listening here in Denver or even Indiana. That's where you're at, right, Sean?
Yep.
Totally forgot where you are.
You can do that. So you can still do that. But you have, you know, the Small Business Saturday today, and then on Monday, Cyber Monday. A lot of people just decide, okay, I'm going to go shopping online and do that. What would you say is the best tip you could share? One tip from each of you when you're shopping online.
Sean, you go first.
Take your time and don't impulse buy.
Where you're online at?
You're going to get a bazillion emails, right? They're already flying in my inbox. And I've already bought a couple things because of that.
Take your time, Sean. Yeah, okay.
New Wyze color bulbs.
I just saw that. I got that email too.
They're the recessed can lights. So they're the bigger, more mushroomy, bloomy looking lights.
Oh, wow.
And they're brighter. And they had a 4-pack for, I don't know, $35. Plus you got a free other style color light bulb. So
all right.
5 light bulbs. So I got a 4-pack of those coming.
Would it be not to click a link in an email? Like, if you know that vendor or that merchant's direct email or website, go there, because you're probably going to find that deal available on their website.
You got to be careful. Scams, right? Scams.
Yeah.
If you're wary about a link, just, you know, if it's from Amazon, just go to Amazon.com and log in. Because
Justin,
if you click a link and you get forced to log in, but you didn't check to see if the URL was good, you may be logging in and somebody's stealing your credentials. So just got to be careful with scammy links.
Justin, what would yours be?
The one tip that I would have is, if you're doing any online shopping, do not, under any circumstances, use your debit card.
Oh, now why is that?
Because your debit card is attached to your checking account. And if a hacker or a scammer gets a hold of that debit card, they can clean out your bank account. Or at the very least, they can make a fraudulent purchase and then they have to freeze the rest of the funds in your bank account until they clear it up.
And the liability limit is different with a credit card versus a debit card.
Absolutely. Do not use your debit card. Use a credit card, especially a very highly rated one. Personally, we use the American Express Platinum card. Actually, it was funny because just a couple hours ago, I got a notification on my phone that said, hey, did Misa make a purchase for $2.99 at La Crusette? You know, in La Crusette, the company that makes those, the cast iron pans.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ceramic coated pans.
Yeah, ceramic coated pans, right? First off, as soon as I saw that notification, I'm like, what can you buy at La Crusette for $2.99? Nothing. Like,
that's
you
just
can't buy.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a test one. I'm like, there's nothing you can buy at La Crusette for $2.99. $299, yes, mm-hmm. but not $2.99. So I immediately called American Express. Within 5 minutes, I had her card canceled. I had a new card on the way, Federal Express, overnight. You know,
they're really good with that.
Everything's good with that. And it's a total fraudulent charge, so they'll refund it and they'll fight it, and we don't have to worry about it. Use a credit card. Do not use your debit card, for God's sake.
All right, before we take a quick break, the one I have is, if you are going to go online shopping for Cyber Monday, do not do it from a coffee shop or a restaurant or a bar. Nope. Do not use their Wi-Fi to do it if you're
unless you're in a VPN.
Or you have a VPN, make sure that VPN is running on it. There are free VPNs, NordVPN, many of the others that are out there. If you have Symantec, you probably have VPN as a part of that. Make sure anytime you're doing a purchase, you run it through a VPN, because there are people out there that can grab your info when it's being transmitted through a coffee shop. Just never a good place to do your online shopping. All right, we'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
And I'm Justin Lemme. Find us on the Facebooks, facebook.com/Tech Talkers. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is Jim Peterick of the Ides of March, formerly with Survivor and a 38 special fan. And you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the show, Justin. I know you've been keeping yourself very busy, but you've done something very exciting and kind of fun. What is it?
I dived back into Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh, I've been hearing good things about it.
It has gotten a lot better. Now, this was back in 2020. We talked about it. There was a huge amount of hype about it. This was the game that came out on all platforms. It had Keanu Reeves as one of the main characters in the game. But when it came out, it had a ton of bugs, a ton of problems. People were revolting against the company.
They wanted refunds.
I actually got a refund. I got a refund. I was like, no, this is stupid. I'm not going to pay for this. But about a year ago, after they started, you know, fixing it and fixed all the bugs, I got the game on the Xbox, but I haven't really played it all that much. And until recently, like the last week or so, I finally started diving back into it. And I got to say, wow.
Really?
The story is, first off, just alone, the story is so good. The voice acting, the character model, not the character models, but just the characters, the story driving behind the game is so engrossing. It sucks you in. Honestly, I can't wait to play it after we get off this show. I got to get back in and see what happens next, because it is so good. Now, yes, there are still some bugs. None of them are game breaking as they used to be. There's still some simple bugs, but it is actually a decent game now.
Who puts a game out?
CD Projekt Red. They are behind the massive success of like The Witcher. I think it was Witcher 3. I think they did one of the most legendary games of all time. They have a very good studio. It's a very big company, very good studio, very good programmers and artists, but they got rushed by the publisher. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens all the time. The publisher sets a deadline, says you got to have it out by this date. And they're like, we're not ready. And they're like, we don't care. Release it. And they're like, okay, all right, well, this is what's going to happen. And then the publisher gets a lot of backlash.
How's the graphics in it?
The graphics are amazing. I mean, it's a lot like, wow. I mean, I don't even know what to compare it to, but The style of the gameplay is a lot like Grand Theft Auto. Okay, it's kind of a third person, first person shooter slash adventure, but it's really good. Cyberpunk 2077. But the thing that really sucks me in about it is, I'm looking at the current world, the state of the world that we actual live in right now.
Right.
I can totally see that this is the world that we are going to live in if we're still alive in 2077. This is the world we're going to live in. I mean, this is seriously
pretty old.
Yeah, you might have a problem with that one. I might have a problem with that one too. But anyway, it's a really good game. It's a really good game. So check it out. Cyberpunk 2077.
CD Projekt, and that's JEKTRED.com. Project
CD
Red.
Project Red. Or just look up Cyberpunk 2077.
I'm going to have to. You know what? I'm going to get that. I'm going to play it this weekend.
It's actually not that bad at all anymore, man. It's really good. It's really, really good.
All right, well, listen, everybody, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Thank you for tuning in this week. Be sure to tune in next week. Tell your friends about the show. You can find us at techtalkradio.com. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeird.
And I'm Justin Lemme. Gobble, gobble. Have a great week.